Hello and welcome to another Eccentric Podcast. I'm Joffrey Swaite, student advisor at Kepler, and I'm joined today by Doyle Rockwell. Doyle lives in sunny Alaska, and so he is going to be talking to us about homeschooling in Alaska, online education in Alaska, etc. Doyle, welcome.
Hello, it's so great to be here. Thank you.
Now, we normally start each show not with the theme, but rather with a bit of verse, a poem. And as we were doing show prep, you just busted out spontaneously with the state song. And so I wonder if you'd be willing to recite Marie Drake's words from the state song of Alaska.
I would be glad to. Yes. It starts, 8 stars of gold on a field of blue. Alaska's flag, may it mean to you the blue of the sea, the evening sky, the mountain lakes and the flowers nearby. The gold of the early sourdough's dreams, the precious gold of the hills and streams, the brilliant stars in the northern sky, the Bear, the Dipper, and shining high the great North Star, that steady light o'er land and sea, a beacon bright. Alaska's flag to Alaskans dear, a simple flag of the last frontier.
Awesome. And so the audience was not able to see this, but you're just reciting this from memory. I love that. That was a part of your education.
It was one of the earliest things I learned. My mom first tried to make sure that I had those key points of knowledge instilled in me that had to do with our state and with our country.
So you're proud to be Alaskan.
Oh, very much, very much.
But isn't it difficult to be Alaskan?
Sometimes it is a little, because every once in a while, people out of state make interesting assumptions about Alaska. For example, I've been asked whether we have polar bears in this area. And wow. I had to tell them, no, not until further up north. But that wasn't as bad as the people who thought we had penguins. Anyway, lots of misconceptions.
Yeah, wrong hemisphere questions are can be rough to deal with. I remember when I was like in fifth, sixth grade in Brazil, we got some pretty strange letters from our American pen pals asking about wildlife. But now I'm going to ask a question which may reveal me as such a one. There have got to be a lot of grizzlies in your area, though.
Oh, yes, we do have some grizzlies. In this neighborhood where I live, we used to have more, but as houses get added on, you usually end up having bears more towards the end of the subdivision, or closer up to the mountains. The farther out you go, the more numerous the bears are. We've had some pretty big grizzlies known to walk around the streets before. Sometimes they get these about 6 feet tall, standing up.
Yeah.
Are they? Yes, they're very dangerous, very dangerous. I've seen a bear minutes after it was shot. They're very magnificent, very magnificent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, the bear problem around here is not so bad. They're only at the end of the subdivision is what I'm hearing from you. But yeah, they are absolutely magnificent animals, particularly grizzlies as opposed to the brown or black
bears.
Yes,
what's interesting. Mm-hmm. Sorry. What's interesting, though, is the animal life in the city of Anchorage, because you'd think there'd just be animal life in the suburbs and the subdivisions just out of the way. But there are actually lots of sightings of bears and lynxes and moose around in downtown Anchorage.
Yeah, I actually had the privilege of visiting Anchorage a couple of years ago, and I didn't spot any exotic wildlife in the middle of the city, but I have to say it felt like it could happen at any moment. You know, it really did feel like, mm-hmm. And I have had that experience, say in Montana, you're in some small downtown somewhere and, you know, a moose walks by, and it definitely felt like felt like that in the middle of Anchorage for sure. Well, yes. I mean, so obviously there are a lot of things about life in Alaska that have a different rhythm, that have a different structure than life for those who live in the continental United States or in the lower 48. Even in the song, that you just quoted, the gold of the early sourdough's dreams. You know, so sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. I to me, that seems to make sense in that song, because we're talking about food preparation.
Yeah.
Right. There's got, you know, it's got to be a more of a thought out thing for most Alaskan families. That you actually have to kind of think about, well, what are we going to be doing through the winter? How are we getting our food? What should we be doing in July in order to be eating well in December? Is that an actual thing, or is that of times gone by?
Well, that's true. But also in the song, the word sourdough is a nickname for a gold panner. And so it's sort of expressing the idea of gold panner sitting by the stream.
I never would have known that, but totally. Yeah, it is. Okay. Wow. Well, I mean, the question still stands, though, despite that gold nugget of information right there, that a sourdough was a... why were they called sourdoughs? That's amazing. maybe they were from San Francisco?
Perhaps. But to correct one misconception, though, we don't all eat sourdough bread all the time. I've had sourdough bread once in my life when I was in Virginia.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, I'd still be curious to know, like, how does food work in Alaska? And you're part of a big family, so that's playing in as well. So basically, you know, you're part of a family that fits, you know, sort of a common homeschool archetype, right? A large family. You know, sprawled through the house, lots of different grades, doing lots of different work at the same time. You know, eating mom out of house and home, but then all of this happening in Alaska. So, what would you say might look a little different for your family compared to one in the lower 48?
Well, in the first place, I'm the only one who's homeschooled right now. Yes, my older brother's grown; he's 30. But the thing that is different about my homeschooling experiences would probably be the outdoor surroundings, I'd say, for one thing. There's a lot of influence that the outdoor surroundings can have on you. I mean, we have this big mountain right in our view through the windows every day. We have the river. Yes. So the scenery around is really elemental to inspiration. Because it inspires me to be poetic. It inspires me to take my camera and go outside, take pictures of wildlife, take pictures of everything around. Really, everything around has the potential. And also in more northern parts around here too, people learn a lot of survival skills because that's something essential to know, especially farther north. People should know how to keep warm in difficult circumstances, and safety, bear safety, safety in pretty much every area. But there's just a lot of outdoor activity around here, and people really do learn a lot from it, from nature.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing. So, you know, we're getting ready to publish our first eccentric magazine of the school year, and you know, of course, we publish poems and essays and all sorts of things. But visual arts, including photography, and you sent in a couple of absolutely beautiful shots that apparently were just right around your home.
Well, actually, one of them was more down towards Seward, towards the bay. But yes, there are certainly a lot of good pictures that can be taken around here.
So, you know, I'd love to talk a little bit about, you know, what your daily routine is as just a homeschooler, as, you know, as a high school homeschooler taking online classes.
Well, in the earlier morning, I usually take that, as my own free time where I can write and read, and catch up on some things where I'm preparing for the day. But then afterwards, there are some online classes, and I think that's one example of what a lot of Alaskans have to do is take online classes, because there aren't a lot of teachers necessarily available right at hand in the state. For example, music teachers. music teachers aren't always available. So on Saturdays, I do video lessons with a music teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I practice piano throughout the week until I meet again for another video lesson. But a lot of my other education consists of video lectures, so from the Great Courses and from some other video companies, some from Roman Rhodes. Wes Callahan is one of her favorites.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so for the audience, Roman Rhodes is our sister company, and a lot of Kepler teachers use Roman Rhodes materials.
Yes, yes. So do we.
Yeah, well, they're great. Let me ask, though, about, like you mentioned, the morning is your own time. I'm super curious to know how the time differential works, because it's already a bit of a bear for students in California and Oregon to deal with being on Pacific time when so much happens on Eastern and Central time. And then there you are, way over yonder. You know, how many hours of difference is it between you and California?
Well, I believe California is on Pacific.
Yeah.
Right. So they'd be an hour ahead of us.
Just an hour.
And
yeah.
So, right. So from Eastern, we're 4 hours ahead. So whenever my grandparents in Virginia call, we have to mentally calculate the time difference. So it is very odd. And for all the online classes I do, pretty much all of them are at different time zones, and different time zones from each other, different time zones from us. In the past, Alaska did have multiple time zones within the state.
I mean, it makes sense, because if you think about, like, Attu is all the way over. I mean, it's closer to Tokyo than it is to Fairbanks. Yeah, I did my research for this show. But I mean, that's an enormous area and a whole lot of latitude. I'm actually amazed to learn right now here on the podcast that there's only one time zone in Alaska.
Yes, there is one time zone now, fortunately.
Yeah, I suppose if you're that far enough north, then sunrise and sunset become subjective anyway.
Exactly, that's true.
Well, so how about that, though? How about, you know, I mean, like, my family recently moved to Idaho, and, you know, the sun being fully down by 5 p.m. is disconcerting for my family. Well, it's so, like, what is it like for you and your yearly routine as fall and winter begin to approach? You know, do you have to kind of gird your loins to prepare for the sunlessness, or is it something that, you know, you don't even think about anymore?
Well, the hours of darkness are something no one ever really gets used to, particularly up in Barrow or Ukiavik, when the sunlight just disappears for over a month. I forget exactly how long, but where they're just in complete darkness for a period of time, and then it comes back. Well, here it's a little bit better, but still we have darkness for about 12 hours a day. December and January. And so it does get very difficult to stay awake sometimes.
Okay.
It gets very difficult to start early. And it gets difficult to stay up late.
Yeah, I mean, do you find that it affects your workflow and your desire to get stuff done? Like, you meet with your music teacher on Saturday and you want to play every day. I mean, is that something that you have to fight against?
Well, it does make my routine seem more difficult to get through. It makes it seem longer. It makes the days feel like they're doubled in their length, really. But then on the other hand, it also makes it seem like it's just a long journey and we're just waiting for spring to come. You know, there's less activity. And with the less activity that there is in summer, there's more time for catching up on the things that you're going to get the chance to do. So, yeah.
So it's just a different
spending time with family. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd love to kind of close out the show thinking a little bit about, I mean, you must be extremely grateful for online education and opportunities that are found online. But, you know, as an Alaskan, there's a sense in which, you know, these aren't really choices for you. You sort of have to go online to find things. And I think that gives you an interesting perspective, because, you know, for a lot of families in the United States, online resources, live online classes, whatever might be out there on the internet. That's just one way of going about things. So, I'd love to hear from you your thoughts on maybe ways your eyes have been opened when you think about, just by doing things online. What happens online that the internet does best, or that happens best online?
Well, the online world of education has certainly opened up a lot of doors. It's made me realize that there is more available than we think, that there is so much that you can accomplish, so much that you've got in your hands. Yeah. You just have to figure out how to use that. And one thing is getting your parents' support, so where they'll pay for some classes, or just opening up to them about what classes you might be interested in. It's shown me that there's a wide amount of availability, that there are lots of online teachers, good online teachers, who need students to attend their classes, and that there are a lot of students who need the teachers. So, and those ends come to meet online. It's a perfect platform for those kinds of things. But there's so much that's not available here in the physical realm of life.
Yeah, the physical realm of life. Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think that more and more we're reaching a phase in which people are separating their internet lives from their real lives less and less, right? My generation is the first generation to grow up with the internet from high school on. But then after that, and of course the internet becomes much, much bigger and much more, much wilder, actually less wild in some ways, much more regulated. But it becomes a much bigger thing. And then, and so now we have, are of an age where, you've always existed with the internet, and different people handle it in different ways, but there are definitely a lot of young folks out there for whom there is no distinction between their life online and their physical life, and I think that's okay. We just need to conform ourselves to the image of Christ wherever it is, however it is we're going about our lives.
Exactly, and especially with the outbreak of COVID, it's been difficult to physically meet with people. So, for example, my church youth group, it's been hard to see them in person for the last few months. So I meet with them online, and it feels kind of like I'm there.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm getting a closer connection to them. But then I also find that there's also a downside to too much strict contact on just internet, because then there's a rift that starts getting between them. And over time, they start getting where they're satisfied with just meeting online,
right,
and not meeting in person, because then that seems like too much trouble.
Yeah,
right. So what was the normal becomes the abnormal,
yeah,
and the internet becomes the new normal.
Right. Yeah, and that really is that's something that we should actually combat, because we've just talked a little bit about how online education is so powerful, right? You have access to so much more and just so much high powered stuff. But we need to be flesh and blood. We have to remember that. We need to have relationships that are physical, and we need to go to church physically. You and I have talked in Spanish class, but the best way to learn Spanish is to go to Mexico or go to Costa Rica. Right. And so, you got to do church in person, and you got to do family in person. And then all this stuff, the internet can supercharge all of that, right? You can learn a bunch of Spanish before you go to Costa Rica. You can keep contact with friends at church while you wait to be able to get back together. But we can't lose focus of what, why it is we're doing this. We're human beings made in the image of God, and part of that image are these bodies that will be resurrected.
Exactly. It's a matter of taking hold of what's available. If you are in an area like Alaska, especially towards the more northern villages, where there might be just one school in the village, or maybe not even that much. You just have to take what you have. But I think that for the people that in the lower 48 who do have those other kinds of classes available, that who do have the ability to meet in person with people, you know, should take advantage of those abilities if they can, according to safety and according to whatever's prudent and according as the Lord wills.
Well said, Mr. Rockwell. I appreciate you visiting. Thanks so much for talking to us about life in Alaska and about being a homeschooler, a multi-schooler, one who is educated multifariously. How about that?
Yes, it's a fascinating one.
Well, I appreciate you stopping in. So long.